Well, glory, somebody ought to praise him. Hey, if half of us just drop our dignity, you know, we act like we're dignified. We ain't nothing but a bunch of country people been saved by the grace of God. We ought to remember where God brought us from, and probably all of us get up and shout. Amen? Amen. Well, glory. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter number 24, Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24 through verse 27. I'm going to have you, if you don't mind, to stand out of reverence of God's word. I believe I have a timely message for us this morning, and I want to try to help you. You know, it seems like our whole world shook up. Somebody say amen. But I want you to know, and I hope before this service is over, and when you walk out the door, you say this under your breath or out loud: I do know God's in control. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. He is.
Yes, sir.
He is. And I want you to look at Isaiah 14 and verse 24. If you're there, say amen. I really want to bring, I'm going to give you three thoughts and then about three applications to the thoughts, then let you go home. The Bible says in verse 24, the Lord of hosts, now notice this is awesome, hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Woo! That I will break the Assyrians in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Now notice these verses. These are awesome. I want you to grab a hold of this morning. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that's stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? Woo! And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Our Father, I ask you to help me preach like I've never preached before. I know, as human beings living on this planet in such a time as this, that people are rocked, confused in this chaos and crisis. But I am glad that I am serving you today and know that you're in control. I ask you to bless me now as I preach in Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. When we fought, 2020 wouldn't get any wilder. It just got wilder. These are trying times. These are tough times. These are terrible times. You know, there was a day when the president of the United States, whether he was a Democrat or Republican, if something bad happened to him, everybody would surround him with their love. Man, there's some people out there hoping he dies. God help us. I'm going to say this before I preach. This is the most important election of your life. You better hear me out, and you better do it right, because you might not want what you get. Good preaching, Reverend. But despite, listen to me, despite who gets in the office November the 3rd, I want all y'all to know something. I got a God that's in control. And I'm going to emphasize that this morning. I heard a little funny story of a man sitting under a walnut tree wondering why that God placed large pumpkins on small vines and walnuts on big trees. Then all of a sudden, one of them come down and hit him on the head. And he looked up and said, "Thank you, Lord." There are times, let's tell it like it is, when we wonder, why did God do this? And why did God do that? And we wonder why God allowed this and wonder why God allowed that. If you're a human being, you're wondering right now, what in God's name is going on in our planet? And God, why is all this happening? And are you around? I want you to know, I want you to know he is around. And by the way, he's got his hand in all this. I'm going to prove that this morning. Somebody out here, you don't need to be wondering if God's asleep or God's anemic or if he's the old man upstairs. No, no, no. He's a fresh God. He's a wonderful God. He's an ever-present God. He's a helpful God. He'll lift you out of your hurt. Somebody help me. I'm trying to get off of square one here, but I'm struggling. I love songs, and one of my favorite songwriters and poets was William Cowper. You're familiar, and I know, Lois, if I say William Cowper, and I asked you what song come to your mind, I know what you would say. You would say, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from a mangled veins," but that ain't the only song William Cowper wrote. He wrote another song that I think is kind of timely for this morning. And that is that God moves in mysterious ways. What led him to write this song was a crisis in his life. I love reading the background of these songs. I don't know if you know much about William Cowper's life, but he took a drug called laudanum to try to overdose and die, and it didn't work. He asked a man in London to take him to the River Thames so he could jump off the bridge and die. And what happened is they got big old fog set in. Are y'all with me? A big fog set in, and the driver couldn't find the river, so Cowper, in his disgust and aggravation, got up out of the coach and started running and tried to find the river. And what happened? He ran in circles and ended up at his own doorstep. He was so disgusted that the next morning he got a knife and laid it out, and he laid on it to kill himself, and the knife blade broke. And then he actually hung himself, and they got him off there before he died. He went unconscious. Then Cowper eventually would find the answer to his struggles in the Word of God. And he wrote this song. I'll just give you a couple stanzas. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea, and he rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomed minds of never-failing skill, here's what I want you to get. He treasures up his bright designs. You hear this? And he works his sovereign will. I want you to raise your hand if you believe in the sovereignty and power and authority of Almighty God. But when he made that statement, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Five times in this passage of scripture that I read to you, you heard the word purpose or purposed. And I want you to know what he was trying to tell all y'all. He was trying to tell all you that our God, here's what I'm going to preach on. Our God is in the driver's seat. Now there's a little funny thing goes on at Taze Valley Baptist Church. If any of y'all ever watch me and my actions, it started actually back with Jared Shoemate, and they don't let me drive. I got my own church car, but I don't get to drive it, Rich, because somebody else always wants me in the driver's seat because they think I may run it off the road. and it started with Jared Shoemaker. But I want you to know some of you need to quit driving the bus, and you need to quit trying to do these things, and you need to let God be God and let him in the driver's seat. Somebody help me preach. So I'm going to preach it on our God who's in the driver's seat. Boy, I'm spending a lot of time on introduction, but I can't help myself this morning. Let me give you three things, and then I want to give you three applications, then I'll let you go home. Number one, in verse number 26, we see God's connection to the happenings of life. I want you to know something. This pandemic, this craziness in our political world has not surprised God. Amen. Us wearing masks this morning hadn't surprised God. Some of y'all look at me like you're looking at a calf in the new gate. Look what he said. This is the purpose that is purpose on the whole earth. And this is the hand that's stretched out, listen, to all nations. Isaiah is telling us that God is not disconnected from the happenings of life. I want you to know you may have had some difficult times, but God is not disconnected. Somewhere in the shadows, you will find Jesus. First of all, he cannot be divorced from the existence of life. Isaiah 17:7 says, at that day shall they look to the maker. Also, Isaiah 45 says, woe unto him that striveth with the maker. Isaiah 51:13 says, and forgettest the Lord thy maker. I want everybody in Taze Valley Baptist Church, everybody listen by the way of live stream, I want you to know that God is your maker. God is the one that created you. God is the one that breathed in the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. That we are created by an almighty God. And I know some of you kids go to public school and you get taught evolution and that junk, and it is junk and it is a lie, and they ain't never found the missing link. Amen. By the way, I read a poem called Monkey Shines. Anybody ever read that? I read all kinds of stuff. Rich, I think I'll read the poem. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing things they are said. Now, listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that isn't true, that man descended from our noble race. The very idea is a big disgrace. For no monkey ever deserted his wife, starved their babies, and ruined their life. And you never known a mother monk to leave her babies with others or pass them on one to another till they scarcely know who is their mother. Here's another thing a monkey won't do. Go out at night and get in the stew, or use a gun or a club or a knife to take some other monkey's life. Yes, man descended that ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us. And you know what? You've got to be a quack and a nuthead to believe we came from an amoeba or some little microscopic organism. By the way, our maker made us today, and it ought to make us responsible and know that God is on the throne. By the way, also, he cannot be divorced from the experiences of life. How about Joseph? Boy, Joseph's life is a great picture of God's sovereignty. You know what he said to his brothers when they finally made it to Egypt? He said, for as you thought it against me for evil, but God meant it for good to bring it to pass. Joseph was put into the pit. Joseph was put into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife made a move on him, and then he rejected her. She got his coat, but she didn't get his character. Somebody help me preach. And then he got put down in the prison where the butler and the baby was. They forgot about him, but I want you to know God didn't forget about him, and God hadn't forgot about you. And then he was placed into the palace. I want you to know, I don't know what all is happening in your life this morning, but I do know there's a God that's in control of everything. Whew. I really want to get to the end of this message so I can give you three good things. Let me go on. Number two, God controls the happenings of life. Look at verse 24. the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Verse 27 said, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? I like that word disannul. It means violate, break up, or cause to cease. I want you to know that you know what? Everything that's happening today is falling right in to God's purpose. Somebody help me preach right there. Amen. The happenings of life are his appointments. You know, somebody said, when we look at life, we don't need to look at them as accidents or luck. We need to look at them as appointments. A.T. Pearson said this, disappointments are his appointments. I like what Andrew Murray, one of my favorite writers, said. Let me show you how he viewed life. He said, first he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this strait, but I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in love and give me grace. Then thirdly, he will make this trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn, working in me the grace he means to bestow. And lastly, in his good time, he will bring me out. Somebody say amen. Then secondly, the happenings of life are his arrangements. You know what? God has allowed all this to happen. Now, I'm going to shake some of them up, Rich. He's arranged it to happen. Boy, it's quiet in here now. God is using all that you see right now to try to bring us to a point where we're going to give him glory and we're going to give him honor. He is in control of it all. And you say, you mean to tell me that God is allowing this pandemic and God's allowing this turbulence in our political system? Hey, by the way, friend, all this right now is leading us into a one world government and a one world religion. And all this right now is getting us prepped and ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. And a lot of us knuckleheads think everything just happened by chance. No, there's a great arranger, a great God of purpose that is on the throne, and he sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and he has it all under control. I'll give you a third thought, then I want to make an application. Man, thirdly, God causes the happenings of life. And the reason is for edification. What was happening at that time, the Assyrians had surrounded Israel, was ready to destroy them. My Bible says that I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains to tread them under feet. The Assyrians had invaded Judah, and in God's purposes, he brought judgment upon them. He broke them down. And by the way, I read the back of the book this morning. The devil's going to hell. The devil's going to lose at the Battle of Armageddon. The devil's a loser. But we're going to win. And we're on the winning side. And God's got this thing. He's got your back. He's got your back. He is going to take care of you. And the whole purpose of all this is for his exaltation. He talks about my land and my mountain. I want you to know everything that's happening, God is going to bring it to his glory. And by the way, when we get through all this thing, it ain't going to be your pastor that helped you get through it. It ain't going to be the president of the United States. Look at him. He's in a hospital bed right now fighting for his life. And by the way, I'm praying that God delivers him out there. But I want you to know my hope is not in Donald Trump. And God knows that he isn't Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, Lord help us. My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and his right. Now, I'm going to give you three applications. This is actually what I'm going to preach on. How do I apply all that I just said? Let me give you three things. How he's connected. Number one, how he's connected to your salvation. By the way, I don't have an Armenian bone in me. Somebody look at me. I have no Armenian bone in me. I believe God is the author and the finisher of my salvation. Let me tell you how some of y'all might want to shout when I get done with these 3 points. You know why you're saved? You're saved because God initiated your salvation. All things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Hey, God initiated your salvation by drawing you. Do you know that no person gets saved unless he gets drawn to God? So you're saved this morning because there was a God that came to where you were and drew you to him. I'm gonna give you something else. Let me tell you how much more control he has over your salvation. Now, there might be somebody come out here going to call me a Calvinist this morning. I'm not. But I do believe in God's sovereignty. Now, listen to this. Brother Dave, I'm about to shout. Not only God did draw me to salvation, God gave me the faith to believe to be saved. And you say he's not connected? And you say he's not in control? He's not only connected in control, he's the cause of your salvation. Man, I'm about to get happy. That ought to make a Baptist shout. Amen. Then I know what some of you are saying. Well, did God save me against my will? No. He just made you willing to be saved. Who was it? How many remember when you got saved? Raise your hand. When you remember when you got saved. Hey, how did it happen? I'll tell you, God initiated your salvation. God came where you were. He's connected to you. He's sovereign. It's because he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world that you sat here this morning, saved by the grace of God. Amen. Anybody getting anything this morning? I'll go a little further. Not only is my salvation connected, controlled, and caused by him, but my security is connected, controlled, and caused by him. Peter says that we're kept by the power of God. I know people that are in Armenian churches. I don't know why they just don't come to Taze Valley and join. It's a bad way to live, being in Armenian. Believing you're saved one day and lost the next day. Believing if you make a mistake, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. That's a confusing way to live. But I want you to know God don't want it that way. The Bible said, he that hath begun a good work in you, well, that's the origin of your salvation. Shall perform it. That's the operation of your salvation. Unto the day of Christ. That's the outcome. Well, glory. You know what? God didn't leave it up to me for chance. Somebody raise your hand. You ought to thank God he didn't leave it up to you, because you would have been lost again. You can't keep yourself. You can't keep it safe. You can't do enough good works to stay safe. But I want you to know the God that originated your salvation is responsible for the operation of your salvation and the outcome of your salvation. You being in heaven and not going to hell is because he ordained it. Y'all over there believe that? I had a woman come to me one time. She had a bunch of, I don't know, stuff in her hair. And she come to me and she said, I want you to pray for me. I said, well, I'll do that. She said, I've been saved 7 times. I said, well, if you've been saved 7 times, you ought to pray for yourself. I've only been saved once. Somebody say amen. See, I don't know if I can get this truth out to you. There's people in here right now. You're insecure about your assurance. I want you to know, if you trust in Christ as Savior and you're saved by the grace of God, you're also sealed to the day of redemption. And by the way, you're in the rock and the Holy Spirit is sealing the rock, and you can't get out because you're connected to him. You're a part of his body. He's not going to do away with his finger. He's not going to do away with his hand. You may fall, but you will not be utterly cast down, because God is connected to you.
Bless his holy name. Glory to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever doubt your salvation? Oh, sure you have. Let me help you. Don't doubt it. Did you trust him? You ever pray to him? Did you ask him to save you? Well, see, he keeps his word. Amen. The Bible said the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Amen. He knows them that are his. By the way, it didn't even depend on how good prayer you pray. What it depended on, he drew you up to him. By the way, it ain't how much prayer. I can't even remember my prayer. How many in this room can't even remember what you prayed? Well, I can't. But I do know this, I called on his name. And I do know this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when the devil starts swarming over you and saying you're lost, or you've lost your salvation, or you can't know you're sure, for sure, God is the one that's connected to your assurance and connected to, well, glory. You can't divorce him from your experience. Am I all right, Ray? He's in the driver's seat. These denominations, they drive me crazy, brother. The pastor tells the congregation, you're walking to the Lord by the Lord, but if you don't stay right, and if you don't do it 100% perfect, at the end, if you make a mistake, you're going on to hell. Well, I make mistakes every day, but I ain't lost. I'm saved. Because see, I ain't the one that's connected to it. He's the one that done it. Whew. Am I helping y'all? Then let me give you two more things. I got to hurry. I didn't know I was going to preach this long. Brother Chapman, I'm about ready to come out of my skin, shout it out here. And then, I'll be honest with you. I've had one of them weeks. I have been everywhere in the world this week. And I came to church about half tired this morning. But none of y'all can tell it, can you? You know why? See, I got a God not only saves me, keeps me saved, but sustains me while I go through this life. Paul got a thorn in his flesh one time. Some think it was his eyesight. I really don't know. But I do know what God told him. Look at me. He said, my grace is sufficient. How many have you found in your dark hour? And I think of those that have lost loved ones this week and those that are having a lot of pain in their life. How many have you found in your dark hour? Maybe when your husband left you or your wife left you or some terrible thing happened in your life, you found a God that said, my grace is sufficient. I can't tell it enough. He's connected to you. He's not leaving you out here all by yourself to fend for yourself. My God is sustaining us. Somebody said, preacher, how do you make it through all the hours you work during the week and all that goes on and the pressure? I've got a God that sustains me and supplies my need and is on the throne who cared for me. And then one of these days, if that ain't enough, one of these days, he's going to sweep me off to heaven. You say, preacher, do you believe in the rapture? I believe we're living at 11:59. If you don't think we're right at the end, you're crazy. And I believe God's getting ready to sweep us out of here. Now, he may sweep me out here by death, but I want you to know if this earthly tabernacle dissolve, I have a building of God not made with hands eternal into heaven. I want you to know to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I want you, well, glory. I want you to know if I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But here's another one. We won't all sleep, but some of us will be changed. You know what I'm kind of looking for? I'm not looking really for the undertaker. They'll have to probably get 10 men to carry my casket. I'm looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the shout. I'm listening for the trump. And I believe we're, hey, by the way, All that's happening, Lois, it ain't messing God's plan up. And I like to say it's speeding it up, but it isn't. It's all falling into his plan. And here's the question. Who's controlling your life right now? Your circumstances or your God? Your philosophy on life or his sovereignty in your life? I want to know, who's in control in your marriage? Who's in control in your life? Who is it right? Are you trying to be in the driver's seat this morning? You will fail. You will collapse. But if you allow him, he'll drive you on into glory and give you victory. Bow your head with me. Whew. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one look around. How many of you know that you know that you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Hold it. Hold up for a minute. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I am not 100% sure I'm saved, but I want to know I'm saved. Raise your hand right now and let me pray for you. I think everybody raised your hand, but I ain't sure. Slip them up. Slip them up. God bless that hand. I see you. You're not sure you're saved? Amen. You may put it down. I want to talk to you right now. If you're in this room right now and you're not sure, that'd be likelihood you're not. And God loves you. And God wants to save you. And you ought to come up to this altar and get it right. Maybe you made a false profession or none at all. And you ought to just come up here and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved and get it right. You don't want, hey, you can get a lot of things wrong, but you don't want to get salvation wrong. And you that just raised your hand, I want you to come up here. And how many of you got a problem right now and you're trying to do it on your own? You ought to come around this altar and say, God, you're in control. I'm going to let you have it. Stand up with me. You that raised your hand about knowing you're saved or sure you're saved, I want you please come up here. Stand. Our Father, deal with that one dear man. Deal with folks in the church got problems bigger than they are, that they know that you're connected to them, that you love them, and you'll take them through. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up.